Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. Try it one more time. There we go. Good morning. Welcome this morning. We're glad and blessed to have you this morning, worshiping our coming King and risen Savior Jesus Christ as our Lord. Before we begin this time of worship, on the back of your bulletin, just to highlight a couple announcements. You will see that there are a couple new Bible studies that are starting Wednesday, September the 2nd. We will be offering the Disciple Bible study, and then the ladies on Wednesday evenings at 6:30, they will be studying the Purpose-Driven Life. Please note that Heartbeat and the study or the course on healing the effects of abortion-related trauma, they're in need of some meals. They're in need of some other items. You can please read through that on your bulletin. And if the Lord leads you to be involved in that ministry, you can contact Heartbeat or you can contact Tony Brubaker. Also, in your bulletin, you'll find a calendar and you'll find the events happening here at Trinity in the month of September. It's hard to believe that September is on us already. However, you know, just basically make note of those things, and as God's Spirit leads you, please, you know, be involved as well. And we do have one sad announcement. Alvin George Cruz, who is Barb Gelding's father, he has passed away, and so we would covet everyone's prayers for Barb and for her family. And make note that the viewing or visitation is Wednesday, September the 2nd, at Robinson Walker Funeral Home in Genoa from 2 to 4 p.m. And then the funeral, you can get the information from the Robinson Walker Funeral Home. They will be providing a meal following the services there. So please pray for Barb and her family during this time of grief. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and go before the Lord and our coming Savior, Jesus Christ, our King. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you for the honor and the privilege it is to just come before you with all boldness, with all courage, with all truth, and with all honor. And Jesus, may you meet us this morning. May your Spirit just quicken our minds and just move our hearts, and may it place our feet in step with you. And so, Father, may you find everything that is done here, everything that is said, and all the meditations of our heart to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And, oh, precious Jesus, take this service. Use it to glorify yourself. And we lift this to you in the blessed, the honorable, and the holy name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. This is a reading from Philippians chapter 2. You can follow along with me on page 1827 on your pew Bibles. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the Word of God.
This morning, I just want to share with you a few words. You'll notice with me on the back of your bulletin that on September the 13th, which is a Sunday, that's a couple Sundays from now, we will be having a special church charge conference. And I want to explain a little bit about what's going to take place at that meeting. And currently, we are going to be voting on moving to a new governing structure here at Trinity. The current structure is complicated at best, and so if you are a member here at Trinity, we would like to make sure that you are aware of this meeting and that you would be in attendance so that you could vote, you could get all of the information that you need. And I want everybody here to know that it's my heart's desire that we be intentional with what we do, that we be effective in what we do, that we are absolutely doing everything that we can do so that we can expand the kingdom of God here in Gibsonburg and the surrounding areas of Ohio and all the places that God asks us to go serve. And so with that, I believe that'll give you a little bit of enough of a teaser. So come on out if you are a member and join us for that meeting.
So then you will get the information. You will be understanding why we are doing what we are doing, why we are proposing the move to this new governing structure. And friends, it's all about reaching the lost. It's all about moving outward with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the current structure is not conducive for that. So come to the meeting on September 13th and hear the information, hear the details, get all of the facts, and if you are a member, please be there. We invite everyone. We are finishing up our series on worship this morning. Last week, Nick and Ray, they spoke about God's purpose for worship. And just to remind us all, they gave us four purposes for worship. That God is glorified. And friends, everything that we do in our lives and everything that we do here at Trinity should be for the one main purpose, and that's to bring glory unto God. The Westminster Confession says this. It says, the chief end to all people, meaning your end of why you are here, why you are on this earth, is this, and it's to glorify God and then to enjoy Him forever. Friends, that's worship. When we seek to bring glory unto God in everything that we do, not only just here on Sundays, but in every facet of our life, but then there becomes this joy and this enjoyment because we are relating to God in the realm that He wants us to relate to Him in. And there's such a joy that will flood your heart that this world will never provide or give to you. It's only coming from the heavenlies. It's only coming from the one who inhabits eternity. It's only coming from the living Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that joy, that abundant joy, that unspeakable joy, that friends, when people who don't know that joy, they see you, they're going to ask the question, what is it that you have that I don't? And friends, when we seek to glorify God in all ways, that's our chief end. Why we are here, we ought to truly enjoy Him as well. But the second reason or the purpose for worship, as Nick and Ray talked about last week, is that the believers, you and me, we are purified. Now imagine this. You know, you hear all the time that believers are a group of hypocrites. And yes, that's true. We all make mistakes. But a hypocrite is someone who claims one thing and then does not back up their claims. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word hypokrisis, and it's a theater term, and it means to wear a mask. And so, friends, when we fail to worship, we are not being purified by the living Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lamb that we just spoke about. And when you and I aren't purified, our motives aren't purified, our actions aren't purified, then everything we say, everything we do, it's all tainted. It's tainted with the wrong attitude, with the wrong motives. But the third thing that Nick and Ray spoke about was that the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are edified. We just had 10 individuals stand up here that made their public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You and I, we have a unique opportunity. You and I have a unique responsibility to encourage, to build up, to edify one another, to literally speak life into the hearts and souls of our brothers and sisters in Christ. How cool is that? How awesome is that? You see, when God created the heavens and the earth, He spoke it. And so there's power in the spoken word. You can produce life in people, or you can produce death in people. James says that the tongue is a powerful, you know, member of our bodies. And we ought to use our speech for edification, for encouragement, for building up. And if you imagine the little ones, the children, how many times they get told the one negative word, and it's a two-letter word, and it's N-O. How many more times would it do them good if we spoke upbuilding and building up messages into their life, words of encouragement? And that's the third purpose of worship that Ray and Nick spoke about. The fourth is that the world is evangelized. And I hope you are seeing what's going on here. It's going from a vertical relationship where God is glorified. It's changing us and purifying us. And it's edifying the church. And then it's moving outward and it's evangelizing the world. That's the message. That's the reason for why we worship. This morning I want to take you to the produced fruit. And you'll notice the notes in your bulletin. what our worship produces. And weeks ago, I mentioned that there are four different types of false worship. And one of those types of false worship is worshiping the right God, the true God, the risen Christ, Jesus our Lord, but with the wrong attitude. All through the scriptures, you will hear and see scriptures that state things like this. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves someone who is cheerful in giving to Him. And you will also see scriptures about, sacrificing and giving yourself, your heart and soul, and denying yourself and following Jesus. But friends, it's all for naught if our attitudes are not right, if they are misplaced, because worshiping Jesus with a false and wrong attitude is a wrong way to worship Him. I'll say that again. Worshiping Jesus, the true God, with a wrong attitude is the wrong way to worship Him. I want to give you five different reasons and facts of what our worship produces, and it should produce a proper attitude in all areas of our life. I don't know about you, but from time to time, I will see things. I'll encounter people throughout my journey of life, and I will be challenged with my own attitude. And I'll be confessing here that sometimes, many times, my attitude isn't correct. Many times, I will get frustrated at people, and many times, I will just absolutely get, just a bad attitude about people or situations. You'll see the injustices of the world and you'll think, why does this happen? What happens? But friends, when you worship God, you can do it in private, you can do it corporately or all together. You can go driving down the road and worship God the Father. There's something that happens inside of you and me. Our attitude changes. Now they say that the worst thing and the worst fear is the fear of being found out. And I'll say that again. They say the worst fear is being afraid of being found out. Jesus said it this way. He said, the overflow of the heart comes out the mouth. And so if our attitudes are bad, if our attitudes are negative, you know what we're doing? We're telling on ourselves all the time. If we are being negative with our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are being derogatory towards different races, different cultures, different ethnicities, if we are speaking about the God-stamped creation, the crown of creation, all of people, in such a way that is derogatory or demeaning, and then we're telling on ourselves. We're telling about our heart, but we're telling about our attitude. And we're also telling about the lack of true worship that should be taking place. Because friends, when we worship God, one of the fruits that happens, it will always happen. It will go like this, that your attitude and my attitude will change. And here's the reason why. When I get frustrated with an injustice where someone is mistreating a group of people, or when I get frustrated about the actions of someone else, when I come into the presence of a holy God and I understand the sacrifice of Jesus where He laid down His life on Calvary for me, then I'm face to face with where I need to be. And then I am unable to levy that judgment against that person or against that people group, and my attitude gets changed. You see, in America, what we have is we have an exodus with the worship. We have people leaving worship, and they still claim to be believers. They still claim the name of Christ. And so they are never being purified. Their attitudes are never being called into question or checked by the risen Christ. And so we have this group of believers that are self-absorbed and they're self-sufficient. And quite honestly, they are not reflecting the goodness of God, because God isn't changing their hearts, nor are they allowing God to have that opportunity to change their hearts. You sing about the blood of Christ. Something ought to happen inside of you and me. When you read the scriptures about the atoning sacrifice, privately worshiping God, and you pray and you bow your head to the living Lord Jesus and you say, here I am, Father, and the Spirit of God silently and quickly quickens you and challenges your heart. You see, that's purification, friends. And that's changing our attitude. And then when our attitude is changed, then our actions follow. And then we are not speaking death into people, but we are speaking words of life. We are edifying our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our minds are moved to those who are being persecuted, those missionaries who are struggling in the bush and struggling all around the world, those individuals that are expanding the kingdom of God. You see how it works. It no longer is about you and me. It's about Christ and Christ crucified. And so that's where it begins. It begins with our attitude about our relationship with Jesus. I want to just go, and we're going to look at five different scripture passages here this morning. The first one is out of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him." You see, if we never worship, if we never truly worship, there's something subtly that takes place in our hearts and our minds and our souls, and we think and we begin to kind of edge into a thought process that we deserve the sacrifice of Christ. And quite frankly, friends, none of us are worthy. None of us are deserving of the sacrifice of Jesus. It's only by grace and grace alone that Jesus came and died for you and for me. And when we worship, our attitude towards Jesus is an attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude of thankfulness. We could look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and we would see, "In all things, give thanks. In everything, give thanks to the God, for he is worthy to be thanked." In everything, be thankful. Why? Because he gives us breath. He gives us the blessing of another day to walk with him. He has given us mercy even when we were undeserving. He has given us faith. And yes, I said faith. The scriptures attest that each one of us have been given a measure of faith. And it's not our own faith. And yet in America, we pervert it and we twist it and we say, "It's my faith. I worked for it." And no, friends, it's the seed of God that has been implanted in you. And it's what we do with it that is important. If we believe it's ours, we're never going to allow God to grow it. We're never going to allow God to produce what he wants to produce through his faith. And the list goes on and on and on and on. And it's all about an attitude. Changing our attitudes and how we relate to Jesus, our living Lord Christ. And so worship, true worship, produces a proper attitude about our relationship with Jesus. It cultivates a desire to serve God. I've talked with friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, where they express it this way, and they say, "I was kicked out of the pew." Friends, that's not anybody, but that's the Spirit of God. And that's when you are truly worshiping right. You have this desire inside of you that you cannot sit still. You must get up and you must serve. You must speak. You must do what God is calling you to do. That's what worship produces. It produces a heart filled with thankfulness. I mentioned that. You know, an attitude of gratitude. There are so many things that we can be thankful for in our world today. I just recently read about an individual who was traveling, and he went to the hotel, and he got a room that was, you know, a bump up because the reservation was taken. So he gets to the hotel desk, and he's talking with his buddy, and he says, "Yeah, I got a comp room, you know, and I got the suite. Maybe I'll let you come up and visit, you know, from your economy standard room." So he goes up to the hotel desk, and the clerk, she looks at him and says, "I'm sorry, sir, but that suite has been taken." He looked at the clerk and said, "That's okay. That's a first world problem." Did you hear that? We live in a world that demands things to go our way. It's not an attitude of thankfulness. It's not an attitude of gratitude. It's saying, "No, you comped me this room. Now give me this room." And friends, when we truly worship, what is produced in us, it's a sense of being thankful for what we have. You go to the tap, you go to the spigot, and you are thankful for the water that we have. You go to the fridge, and you're thankful for the food that you eat. Because there's friends in this world. We don't have that luxury. And worship should produce that attitude of being thankful. Worship should also produce a life complete with remembrance of all that the Lord has done. And I mentioned that. His mercy, his love, his grace, the peace that surpasses understanding. And I could go on and on and on. But true worship, it does produce an attitude about our relationship with Jesus. But it also produces a proper attitude toward ourselves. This is from Romans 12, 1 and 2, and it states this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, an attitude towards ourselves is we understand our tendencies. We understand the way that things will go in our life if they are left unchecked. And so we need to be transformed. We need to be changed. We need the Spirit of God to come into our life. And friends, if you are a believer, then you have the Spirit of God in you right now. But we need to unlock the Spirit from our own will and our own wants and yearnings and ways. And we need to allow God to flow freely through us. And we need to meet God in our struggles. We need to see that we are a sinner saved by grace, and now God calls us all saints. And yes, I said saints. We are all viewed as being holy in Christ. We are the holy ones in Jesus. We are the ones who Jesus has clothed us in his righteousness, and yet we understand that we live in this tension where the sinful fallen man is struggling against the redeemed new creature made in Christ. And so, friends, we have that understanding, that proper attitude towards our weaknesses, our struggles, our temptations, our tendencies. But then we're strengthened through that, because worship produces an understanding of our own tendencies, and worship produces a realization of our own need. See, we all have needs, every single one of us. And friends, when we are in part of the body of Christ, we have a unique privilege to speak to those needs, to speak to those tendencies with our brothers and sisters in Jesus, to help them out. And yet in America, you see the isolation of brothers and sisters in Christ. You see the separation of those who are so afraid to speak what their struggles are. And I'm not saying that we need to go around and just speak everything we struggle with. What I'm saying is you get a good brother or sister in Christ that are trustworthy, and then you share. But don't be afraid to share. Because if you are afraid to share, then you're separating, you're isolating, and you are not allowing God to work in the way that he has designed the church to work. And it's worship, friends. It's all about worship, producing that proper attitude toward ourselves. And it looks like this. I hear all the time people say, I'm no good, I'm just a piece of dirt, I'm this and I'm that, I'm an idiot. No, you're not, friends. You're a child of God. You are the one that God created. You are the stamp bearer. You are the one that is bearing the stamp of the Creator, the one who inhabits eternity. You are not worthless. You are very, very worthy. And it's that proper attitude of understanding tendencies, understanding struggles, but seeing ourselves as God sees us. And that's what worship produces in you and me, friends. The third thing that worship produces is an attitude towards other believers. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 through 11 says, Brethren, I write you no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you hear from the beginning, and then skipping a couple of verses. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause from stumbling. So friends, it's an attitude towards other believers, and worship produces a genuine love for other believers in Christ. And I'm going to say that again. It's a genuine love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not this speaking one way and then feeling another when we go home. It's not this doing one thing out of obligation or duty. It's a genuine, it's a sincerity. It's a true, authentic love. The agape love that says, I will sacrifice for you. I will put down my wants, desires, and needs and those things that are on my agenda for what's best for you. And friends, that's what worship does. Because not only do we begin to see ourselves through God's eyes, but we begin to see others, especially the body of Christ, through God's eyes. And that cultivates that love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there should be this sense of yearning when we do see our brothers and sisters in Christ again, that fellowship, that koinonia, that intimate connection with those who are in Christ. And that's wonderful. That's an absolute phenomenal thing. But worship produces a heartfelt desire to help other believers in Christ as well. I could share with you time and time again that I'll get a phone call and somebody will ask me something, and then if I'm brutally honest, I will have this struggle going on inside of me. Because in my little world, I had this on my agenda, whether it was doing something, going somewhere, and then I'm faced with it front and center, saying, do I put what I had on my agenda back and follow God? Or do I do what I plan to do? You see, it's in those little things, friends. It's the attitude. It's the love. It's the heartfelt desire to help someone when they're in need. Because all of us, when we were in need, Jesus helped us, and he saw our need, and it did not benefit him in the least bit, and yet he laid down his life for you and for me, and he said, here, I am yours, and I'm going to give you my life. How can we not do any less? How can we? And yet I'm fearful in our world, in our country, we do less all the time. We get so consumed in our own little world, and then we come into God and we say, Lord, here I am. And then we struggle because we don't feel that we're hearing from God. And friends, that's because we got sin in the camp and we are walking according to the beat of our own drummer, and we don't want to hear from God because we are saying, hey, this is the way I want it, right? Start with the little things, friends. Start with that little small voice that says, hey, I want you to go help that person. I want you to do this for that person. And if you are obedient in the small things, the scriptures tell us that the person who is faithful with little will be entrusted with much. And so as you are faithful in those small times, in those small little conversations that God has with your heart and your soul, then he will entrust you with much. We have to be faithful with what he has given to us. The fourth thing that worship produces is an attitude toward those in the world. This is out of the Gospel of Matthew 5, verse 16, and it says, let your light so shine before people or men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, one of the passions of mine is sharing the gospel. And we have to remove this thought process of us versus them. It's not us versus them. I forget who said it, but someone said that, hey, as we share the gospel, we are literally just one beggar telling another beggar where we found bread. And friends, that's what it's about. It's about sharing the love. It's about sharing where we found the sustenance for our soul. It's about sharing the goodness of Christ, our living Lord Jesus. It's about giving them what has satisfied our inner being. And we have to remove ourselves from feeling that we are on the good and we're on the in, and it's us versus them. No, our hearts should be moved and grieved. I remember, right, Jesus, he sat on the mountain, and he looked down over Jerusalem, and he lamented, and he grieved, and he mourned. And then his words were that he saw the people, that they were scattered as if a sheep were without a shepherd. I challenge you, as you go to the gas station, as you go to the store, to view people not in an us versus them, but in a relationship with Jesus. And I'm not saying that they're all Christians. That's not at all what I'm saying. But what I am saying is to see their need. Don't get stuck at their actions. Don't get stuck where their speech is. Move beyond that. And if you can't move beyond it, then you go before the Lord and you say, Jesus, give me eyes for these people. Let me see them the way that you see them. Give me a heart of love that will encapsulate them. Give me a desire to reach them. If you're truly sincere about worship. Because if you go to God with that, he will hear your prayer and he will answer your prayer. And friends, you will be changed, and you probably have already seen it. That true worship doesn't change the situation around us. True worship changes you and me. True worship changes our heart. True worship makes our heart reflect the goodness of Christ and the risen Savior of Jesus our Lord in this fallen world. And we are called to let the light, and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now you have the light in you, and I have the light in me, and it's the light of Christ, and we are called to let it so shine forth that when people see how we engage this world, they will not glorify you or me, but the scripture says they will glorify your Father in heaven. Now we've come full circle. I hope you've seen that. The full circle, moving back to last week, where God's purposes for worship is number one is to glorify God. You see, my hope through this whole series was to move us from an understanding of worship being here on Sunday morning for 45 minutes to an hour, to move us to an understanding of worship as being a way of life. We must get there. We have to get there. If we're truly going to live the way that God wants you and me to live, to reflect His goodness, we must be about worshiping God every day, every waking moment, and viewing our relationship with Christ as such. Because it's all about bringing glory to God. It's not about Trinity United Methodist Church. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our grandparents, our great-grandparents. It's not about our children. It's about glorifying God, because He and He alone is the one that is worthy. If your heart is set there, you're in a good place. Because friends, when we glorify anything else, that, my friends, is idolatry. And that is false worship. So let your light shine. And just to emphasize this last point, when we worship, our attitude toward all of life, everything, is found in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You know, we pray before we eat. The Jewish custom in Jesus' day was to pray after they ate. Wrap your mind around that. Giving thanks for the provision that God had given to them. They would pray and give thanks. We pray and give thanks, and then we eat, and then we're absorbed, and we self, you know, fulfill our flesh, and then we go about our own way. What would it look like if we were to pray before and then pray after and say, and to reorient our hearts, our minds, our souls, to give thanks for what God has truly done? No matter what you do, no matter what I do, do it all. Whether you eat or drink, whether you go to get fuel, whether you go to shop, whether you go wherever you go, whether you go to a reunion or whatever you are doing, you fill in the blank, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And see, friends, when we truly worship, that is where our attitude will change. Because in life, there are many things that can be crummy. In life, there are many things that will cause us to struggle, and we might even get frustrated. But you know what, friends? I can't tell you how many times that still small voice in my spirit, in my soul, and in my mind has says, where would you be if I felt that way about you, is what it says many times than not. That's worship, friends. It's changing of us. It's changing our attitude. It's changing our actions so that we truly reflect the light that God has placed inside of you and me, so that others will give glory to God the Father. That's my hope, is that as we move forward, that worship will be a way of life, and not on a day or time or a certain style. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, precious Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all those things that you have blessed us with. And we do ask for your forgiveness for taking you for granted from time to time. We ask for your forgiveness for just taking the provisions that you grant to us for granted. Father, may you meet us And we thank you that your word says that you are faithful. And Jesus, may you find us all faithful to meet with you, not only in corporate worship, but in private worship and in our daily times of reading your word and praying to you. And Father, may you find in our hearts our desire to bring glory unto you, O Christ. For you, O Jesus, are the only one that is worthy. You, O Lord, are the only one that is holy enough and perfect enough to demand worship. And so, Father, challenge us, we pray. Challenge us this day. May you just move us in the ways that we need to be moved. We'll thank you for what you'll do, and we thank you and bless you for what you have been doing here at Trinity, and may you find us faithful in expanding your kingdom and seeing those who are in need of a relationship with you and having the boldness and courage to go forth as you call us to, not in our own strength, but in the spirit of you, in the moving of your Holy Spirit. So, Father God, may you be blessed. May you be glorified. We bless you now. In the holy name of Jesus, our risen Savior, we pray. Amen.
Well, these altars are open if you need anything at all. We have 10,000 reasons to worship God, 10,000 reasons to lay everything to Him, and 10,000 reasons to be thankful. So these altars are open. There's anointing oil. If you need it, anything you would like to give to God, you can give to Him today.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Yes, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, yes, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name. Yes, I worship your holy name.
As we close here this morning, sometimes it's difficult for us to think of us blessing God. And friends, when we have a life of worship, that is exactly what you and I do. We bless the Lord through our actions, through our lives, through everything that we say, everything that we do. We are a blessing to God because our lives are like a fragrant aroma that rise to the heavens, speaking of the goodness of God in all aspects. And may the living Lord, the risen Christ, may he bless you and keep you. May he just shower you with his peace, his truth, and his love. May your hearts just be abounding more and more in his grace and his mercy, as you and I depart in peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.